This morning's lesson is going to be about growing in Christ. On one level, it's for all of us. But on the other level, it's for the people that aren't here, but would like to be. Because as we've gone through pandemic and arson attack and all this kind of crazy stuff, people have their own reversals in life. But the Bible talks quite a bit about growing in Christ. And I just want to make 4 points this morning. But kind of the springboard for this is 2 Peter 3:18 and following, where he says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." In everything in life, if you're going to be successful, you're going to make progress, it's going to require some kind of growth. And so as I think about that, I thought, well, what does that really mean to grow? And the simple idea just means to increase, to become greater. Do you say, "Oh, I'm okay where I am"? Yeah, isn't that, if you go to a store, a business, and a corporation, say, "Yeah, we're okay with today's products. We're just good forever. We're just going to let it flatten out." You say, "Oh man, what you've done is you've become stagnant. You're not trying to grow greater, trying to become better in any way." I thought it was interesting. In 1 Samuel 2:26, it says that Samuel grew in stature and in favor with the Lord and men. So here's the last judge of the Old Testament. You say, "Well, you know, that sounds like somebody else in the New Testament." It does. But here you have this young man in a very tumultuous, really decadent society, and that he stood out. He said, "I'm going to be different." And so that's what I'm thinking about us here and those of you that are picking this up at home, that desire to grow and to be better. Now, that same idea is found in Luke 1:80 and talking about John the Baptist, continued to grow and become strong in spirit. And so you say, started out as a young man, grew more mature, and says, "You know what? I want to follow God. I want to do the right thing." And what we find, that same idea of growth in John the Baptist. It's reflected in Jesus in Luke chapter 2, verse 40, and again in Luke 2:52. But 2:40 says he continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So I just thought about this. What about you all here? What about you at home? How do you look at your own spiritual life? And Zephaniah, Old Testament passage, talked about God is against those who are stagnant in spirit. Isn't that an interesting analogy there? Something that is stagnant, like with water particularly, picture swampy, murky, did algae growing and bugs and disease laden and whatnot for those kind of waters. But it's inactive. There's no progress. Most of us like, well, here's the rivers, and if you go hiking or you're driving by, and the beauty they have. But just some old sludgy pond doesn't call us to a great reflection in a positive way. Well, people are the same way. I looked at myself, and during the COVID time, my exercise was limited to like 2 times a week. I'd walk around the block with Glenda. Or whatever it is, you know. "Hey, what's that like?" You know, for me, that's nothing. I could have been less active if I'd laid on the sofa for 2 years, but there wasn't a lot of activity. And I thought, "Well, Paul, what are you going to do?" I said, "Well, I got all these reasons, right? You're old. It's cold outside. It's dark. It rains. You got a gimpy knee. You know, the wrong team is playing Super Bowl. Any reason will work." Like Jim Hester one time said, one guy went to his neighbors and he wanted to borrow a chainsaw. And the guy said, "I can't loan it to you." And he said, "Why is that?" He said, "I use it to eat soup with." He said, "Eat soup with? You can't eat soup with a chainsaw." He said, "Well, that's right. But when you don't want to do something, any excuse is all right." So, and we have to look at ourselves. Why are we doing what we're doing if we're stuck? And I thought, "Well, Paul, if you're going to get unstuck, what would you do?" Well, but if you do that, I had a little issue with the meniscus in my knee, and it's a little better, a little worse, and oh man, if you do that, then you gotta call the doctor. And then you gotta make an appointment, and then you gotta go see the guy, and then he's gotta tell you whatever you think, and all these things. I said, well, so what are you gonna do? Are you gonna lay on the sofa for the rest of your life? I wasn't really laying on the sofa, but that's kind of an analogy. I wasn't as active as I've been my entire life. I've never been that inactive. I thought, well, what's the first thing you do? Well, you could call a doctor. You could make an appointment. And so call a doctor. And then you got to go in. He said, okay, now I see, you're swollen in here. This particular exercise will help build the muscle tone around that leg. And here, take these pills. It'll decrease inflammation and do this exercise kind of thing. So how is it? Pretty good. So, well, then what? Well, I just, now that I know what to do, I'll lay on the sofa. That's not moving you toward your next most important goal. Well, then you got to sign up. I enjoy my level of martial arts. It's not what the really good guys do, but I'm the oldest guy there. And so you figure everybody that comes in is younger than you. And when they kick, I'm serious. Here's a guy 6'5". He's in his 40s, Alaska Airlines pilot. He kicks over his head. Almost 80. He's squeaking along like the Tin Man. I said, Paul, you can complain. You can look at what they can do and what you can do, or you can get in there and get busy. So I said, okay. I started back. Christians, it's like a little better, but almost like my first day 3 years ago. I couldn't remember the stuff, and the balance is wobbling. Well, what should you do? He said, Paul, in your case, I just quit. Right? No. I said, Paul, all you can do is what you can. You can't do what they do, but you can do what you do. And that's more than just laying on my proverbial sofa. And so I began thinking about growing, and our grass is green. Well, the first time in my life ever, I put fertilizer on before the winter. You have a kind of a winterized kind of low-level stuff. Hey, it's green. I don't know if it's supposed to be green or if my it ever was, but I did something to improve that. I look out, and we got a tree at the right-hand side of our property, west side, and its little buds are coming out, a star magnolia. I said, well, look at that. It is showing growth. And so as we think about growing in Christ, I say, Paul, what would you say to do for all of us here and for those people at home? Some people say, here's 6 things you ought to do. Here's 4 things. Here's 9 things. And I just chose 4, and they're really simple ones, but they're ones that really is part of our process. And you say, Paul, I wouldn't have put the first one that you put first. That's fine. You get up here, you preach the same lesson next week, and you change the order. It really doesn't matter because you're going to need them all. But the first one that appealed to me was choose an example that you could look up to. Somebody else that is doing what you would like to do in some capacity. And you say, you know what? I would like to improve and do that. It might be your parent. It might be a grandparent. Maybe it's a sibling, another family member, a teacher, a peer that isn't a family member, some other faithful Christian. When I was probably 20, 21, I hadn't had any role models in a positive way when I was growing up. And until somebody offered me a Bible study, and I ended up going to college, met Glenda there in FC, came back. And as I ended up at Kirkland, I looked at older men, and I was 21, and I thought, you know, I look at that guy. He had one quality that I really appreciated, and I wanted to incorporate that in myself. I looked at this other guy. He had a different quality that was also a good thing. And so I just looked for different role models along that line. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6 said, you also became imitators of us to the Thessalonians and of the Lord. Because guess what? Your kids have you as the example of here's the attitude we ought to have. And you don't have ultimate control of all their decisions, although we'd kind of like that, but that's not how it works for any of us. But you set an example. They can learn from that. in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, remember your leaders, consider the outcome of their way of life. Think of faithful Christians that were really on track, did the right thing. How did their life turn out? Oh, they may have had health reversals, financial this and that, but how did they turn out as people? Almost every time, you know, they were really neat. That was cool. They were so inspirational in spite of the whatever, how they did. And so I got to thinking back about people that have made a really neat impression on me through the years and been examples for me. When I started out, Homer Haley was one of my professors in FC. Then he was probably younger than I am now, but he looked, you know, 9 million years old. He had cancer and was kind of a little bit lopsided and whatnot. But I remember, you know, I'm 20 years old and I go there and in his yard, which is, you know, right across the campus, well, he's got weight training. You want to go there? Well, you go weight training in Homer Haley's yard. Yeah, and we're for something, wheat germ oil. And he's just talking, oh, I had cancer, but I'm better now. And I just, wow, this old guy just keeps going. And it just seemed like he didn't, but it just seemed like he knew the entire Bible. If you heard him preach in years gone by, he died years ago, but he would take his little New Testament and he'd just quote it. And he said, well, here about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, down about verse 16, it says, he just kind of tap his thigh with, he just starts quoting for them. Wow, so inspirational. And so from Homer Haley, I learned, stay strong, know the book. Then as I came out here, Lowell Williams was a preacher in Kirkland and our mentor. And from him, I learned a number of things, but one of them was total commitment. You just put it all on the line for the Lord. I had friends that maybe one or two would know, but Jim Link was a peer. But strong and dark curly hair and always has a positive attitude. I thought, I like that attitude. Paul, you want to have that as part of your personalities. And fellow preacher, Dick Radke, unwavering sacrifice, way beyond the call of duty, always answer, Paul, that's a good thing. I thought of Rocky Wells, things that I appreciate from, and we've talked about, we each wish we had some of the other guy's personality. Rocky, always calm. I don't care what happened, just, oh, that's fine, we can handle it. Just, yeah, the backside of the boat just fell off. Oh, that's fine, we got to bail, we'll bail. It's just, I just love that kind of thing. And I said, Rocky, man, I wish I was more like you. Rocky said, Paul, I wish I was more like you. And so you see things in others that are so good, and you want to incorporate that into your spiritual life. I think about individuals like Mike Walker, Joe and Carol, Karen Bartle, Sally Honeysett, Marilyn Sabsowitz. What you guys do for me is faith under trial. Man, you go through avalanche, tsunami, floods, and you just keep on keeping on. And I am so thankful for you, because what that does for me, it says, Paul, you're going to face that here. The only question is which page of the calendar, but we all face it. And I am so thankful for you and what you display for me. I think about other people like Dennis Larson. Many of you know him. Dennis, I've known him, I guess, 45 years. And among his qualities, there is a generosity beyond comprehension. He goes way, way, way beyond anything I would ever think to do. Anybody else I've ever known to do. He'd be embarrassed if I was telling it, and so, but he's not here, so I'm telling you. but it's just you could go on and on. Things that I mentioned, he'd be in a restaurant, this is years ago, be in a restaurant, finances were really tight for him, and over here on the side, I'll just say Denny's, it could have been anywhere, here's this gal, she's kind of crying and whatnot, just by herself. And you go, well, what's the matter? Well, I just all these problems, and I have a job. I could have a job, but I can't afford the outfit. And well, what do you need? I'll just say slacks, I don't know what it is, and maybe a blouse. Okay, here's $40. That was his part of his rent money. Then he had to borrow the rent money to pay his. Wow. When Glinda's daddy had Parkinson and it'd be real cold, and Dennis bought him a parka. Eddie Bauer down parka. Wow. And I say this because it just blew me away. It was a $300 down parka. My mind doesn't even, and this was, 20 years ago. Well, he just did that kind of stuff all the time. That's not unusual for him. I think about Jim Myers and looking toward heaven. He said, I think about it every day. Wow. And so it's just really neat things. And so as we think about life, Steve Jobs, Apple founder, has died since of pancreatic cancer, said, what I do is I get up every day and I'm asking myself, is what I'm about to do, would I do that if this was the last day of my life? And so it helps us focus on what is really important. And then finally, in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, Paul tells Timothy to set an example for believers in speech and life and love and faith and purity. So you become the examples, not only for your kids, but for everybody you meet, for your neighbors, for the other Christians that are struggling. They come to you and say, man, I'm just being hammered with it. Could I talk to you about it? So think about that. You want to grow in Christ? Look for an example for somebody that's doing what you would like to do. You can talk to them about it or just observe it. How about growing in Christ and the idea of self-evaluation? And you can apply it in all areas of life. And I like this little graphic over here. Well, I'm below average. Average, which means, I'm just kind of stuck in the middle. Or really, pretty good. Or excellent, or outstanding. And so as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, he says, test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourself. That idea of testing comes from a Greek word that means approved and accepted. You're looking at yourself saying, I want to be, on God's accepted list. Not that I'm spectacular, not that I know everything, but I'm growing, and Lord, I'm trying to do the right thing. And wherever I'm off track, I want to get better on. And so examine yourself is a different Greek word. It means scrutinize, look closely. Sometimes we look, yeah, I looked at that. Yeah, but I look at it very long or very good and say, Paul, you need to look at you. You need to look at the inside of you. And so all of us Christians here, Christians at home, think about that. What if I looked inside and did a check? In Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 25 down through 29, I'm just going to kind of paraphrase some of these things so it all fits on the page. But Paul says, do not lie, but speak the truth to one another. So as we say the truth, is it always the truth and the whole truth? Now, does that mean, in fact, Joe, next Sunday, is going to be speaking on truth and lies, right? He said, yeah, because we talked about it, because the subject is so massive. I said, we'll break it up. But is just not saying anything, if a person says, well, I tell you what, I did on my taxes, and you're just not saying one thing or another about your taxes. You always want to do it right, but you're not trying to brag. You're not trying to complain. I don't care what the issue is. But as you think about that, what you say, is it the truth? Do you have a calm temper? I grew up in, flash and burn home and argument at the top of your voice. And I decided we're not going to have that in my family. He said you can be angry, but don't sin. Don't steal anymore, but rather labor so that you can provide for yourself and for others in need. That no corrupt thing come out of your mouth, but only something that's good that's going to build others up. So you have an area of life that you're just looking at all kinds of things. Lord, I just want to do better. And here's what I'm going to work on this month, let's say. Maybe it takes, they say, 3 weeks to establish a habit. Here's this quality. But let's say you got 4 things you want to work on this year. For the next 2 months, I'm going to do this one. And you know, the next one I'm going to tackle is going to be that one. And in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8, he said, add to your faith. So if you're not in Christ, you're not a believer. The people here would be. That's why you're here. But maybe there are people at home. You know somebody. You say, well, what they need to do is they need to have this relationship of faith with Jesus Christ. And then goodness or moral. You're making good decisions. Add to your goodness, knowledge. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit of how about our understanding of God's word. Well, I went through it one time. I'm at 1954, and that's good enough. Well, you're always learning. I was talking to a Christian this week. They said, an older Christian said, I have been studying, actively studying for 70 years, and I learn something new all the time. And so it's always growing. And then in self-control and perseverance, keep on keeping on, and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. And he said, if you do these things, the entrance into the eternal kingdom will be abundantly supplied to you. You're growing in Christ. So when is it that you stop? You don't ever stop. Why? Because the goal, the measurement, the ideal is Jesus Christ. So when you and I get to be just like Jesus Christ, nobody can tell any difference between us and him, then we got to figure it out. Well, it's not going to happen on this earth. The third thing I'd like us to talk about is assembling with the saints. Well, this is what you're doing right here. And why to do that? Well, it helps you grow. And them, that is everybody else that's not you, grow. And it honors God. In Proverbs 27:17, I share this because it really resonates with me, that iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I do better with interacting with people than I do. Well, Paul, just go on yourself. For instance, if you're going to do martial arts, how about you just do it at home? Don't spend any money. You don't have to go anywhere. Hi-ya! And everything. Yeah, about 5 minutes into that, I'm bored. I get to spar with black belts. Say, you a black belt? Oh, no. Man, they whack me something serious. Whoa, don't do that again. But it's just an honor. And you say, well, Paul, just, when that happens, why, it just, you're just learning leaps and bounds. No, it feels like I'm a little kid. They know all this stuff. I am light years behind them. So, well, Paul, why don't you quit? Well, if I quit, I don't learn anything. I don't even move. You just keep on moving. Paul, but in 2 years, you're going to be like them. I will never be like them. They are so far beyond me. I don't have enough life for that to happen. But I get inspired by the people that are around me. In Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9, New Living Translation says, two are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. We tend to do a little bit better along that line. We're accountable. We get encouraged by. Hebrews 10, 24 and 5. Consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking your own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And so the reality is, well, I don't get as much as I could out of that lesson. You know, I heard that before. Well, there's more than just us. As we begin thinking about this, it's really not about me here. The service is about me. It's not about me. But on the flip side, it's not about you, right? It's not about us, meaning personally. It's about Jesus Christ and others. And so in 1 Corinthians 10, 31 through 33, we think about whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. God gets glorified by you being here. You're interested in him. And he says, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, that they may be saved. So as you think about things, you say, you know what? How can I help that other Christian? How can I grow? You know, that kind of thing. Whew, that applies to me. And I need to do better in that realm. And I can. I see them. And I want to do that. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 and 39, talks about how we are not like them who shrink back to perdition. Some people will say, I hadn't gone to church in 2 years. I guess I'd get by without it. Well, yeah, but can others get by without you being there? Is that honoring God? It's a different thing if you're home because you're sick, you're hurt, surgery and ill and these kind of things. Are some people are just afraid, and I understand, I'm not dismissing that. But beyond that, is it just becoming habit? Is it we becoming sluggish? Are we becoming stagnant in spirit? And the last thing is growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I thought about that. How do you grow in grace? Because we think about grace is undeserved blessings. Barnes and others talks about this. Grace in this sense is the Christian life you live is all one of God's blessings. And none of them we actually deserve. And so he said, what's really being told us is you grow in all areas of your Christian life. You say, Paul, you know, you only mentioned four. You could have mentioned this, you could have mentioned that. Whatever I didn't mention is covered in 2 Peter 3:18 and following, because it's everything in the Christian life we can grow in. And then in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Paul, here you are in martial arts. Now, I thought 3 years ago, I just get in, hi-ya, and there's a couple of these things I got to figure it out. There are literally hundreds and hundreds of moves and combinations. So, man, how many you got? Oh, about just, and they all have numbers. Here is number 2, and this is number 18, and if you do this, and then that. It's bewildering to me. Now, those of you that are older, this will resonate with. It's harder to remember stuff when you're older than when, you, like, if you're 65 to 95, than when you were 5 to 15. Man, knowledge just zooms to you then. Here, you can still do that. And I tell people, I could compete. I went back to college in my mid-60s, and I could compete with 16-year-old running start college students. The only difference was I had to work 5 times harder than they did to do the same thing. But I thought I could get there. And so I can learn it. I just don't learn it fast. And so I had the opportunity just this weekend, just yesterday, Mike Walker and I went over Bill Crandall's, and we said hi to Ludi and whatnot. And Bill's always working on some kind of project, and he said, hey, how about a cup of coffee? And we were great. And so we, interestingly, both Mike and Bill were in the Navy, and they both had, there's an initial electrical class called A class, and they both got that same kind of start. Now, Mike worked on the operation of it. Did you guys know, you know, PT boats and the landing craft and the front thing fall, goes down and all the guys go running off? Did you guys know there's more of that boat underwater than there is above? I never knew that. I thought it was a flat bottom boat. I don't know what you had, an Elgin, a Johnson & Johnson outboard motor or something on the back, and it got across. Both Mike and Bill tell me there's 40 feet of boat under there that you don't see. These guys are just on the deck. Mike was down in the belly of the beast down there getting the boilers and the cold thing going. Wow, I didn't know that. As they were talking about their gifts, and Mike would get on the electrical test 90 to 95% on the test. That's in the A range. Bill got 100 every test. Yeah. Paul, how did you do? Man, I almost flunked out of high school. I had to start paying attention just to get out. And so I talked to them, and I said, Bill, how did that work for you? He said, look, it's not like it just fell on him. He said, at 17, worked on a farm. He said, I was carrying milk and getting food to the cows. That's what I knew. He said, but I went into, 2 weeks after high school, I went into the Navy. I was interested, Jacques Cousteau, you know, being under the water and nuclear submarines, that's all exciting, except after a year and a half, he had to wear glasses, and they said, well, you can't have glasses in a submarine, because if your glasses fall off, you can't say, hey, we can't drive the boat, because I can't see. Well, how did he get so gifted? For the next 53 years, he was self-taught. Now, I know there's AC and DC. Do you know the difference? No, one's for houses, one for cars, and that's about what I know. And in wiring, for your electrical plugs, there's white and black, and the black is the hot, and the white's the neutral, and green is ground. There is such a thing as in serial and something else, and Paul, you're at the end of what you know electrically. How did these guys get there? They said, look, it took decades. I said, Christians, think about this. Let's take Bill. Could I ever learn everything that Bill now knows? And the answer is, no. I don't have another 50 years of life to learn what he's learned. So, well, Paul, maybe you should give up on ever learning anything about electrical or house or maintenance or, well, no. I learned stuff from Joe Jacobson. I hear about yardmen. Why you do that? Oh, I can learn things. I just can't know all that they know. Well, Ben Kotenbaugh, a physicist. Paul, do you have enough life left where you could learn? You go back to school for 8 years, learn everything that he got to get his degree, then work 25 more years for Boeing, and then catch up with him. Paul, you don't have enough life to do that. So should I give up on learning? You say no. I started back into martial arts. I can never do what they do. Why, you get old, and unless you've been stretching those tendons out for 70 years, they shrink up. Man, I can kick about that high. But these guys are over my head. So, Paul, what is your advice? Just give up. No. There's not a lot of 80-year-olds out there. In fact, I had a black belt said, Paul, when you get into tournament competition, you're going to win your division. I said, how many 80-year-olds do you think out there doing what I do? Well, there are. But I can do what I can do. I can get off the sofa. I can move around, and I can learn. And God says, I want you to grow in grace and knowledge. Proverbs 18:15, the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. In Colossians 1:9, we pray that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Ephesians 4:12b, how God gave us evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The New International Version says, to prepare God's people for the work of service. So the body of Christ may be built up till we all reach the knowledge of the Son of God. Yeah, but I had that. I mean, Paul, you're studying Acts class at 5 o'clock. I mean, I've had Acts 5 times. Good. How much do you remember? Oh, I do forget some. We all forget some. And so he said, to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Paul, you got the understanding that Christ does? No. So you go back to the basics. We've had it, and we're going to build on from there. And so as we come down toward the end of the lesson, but if I can't do what they do, should I give up? No. You do what you can do. One person said, I'm not that perfect Christian. I'm just one of many that God's still working on. I'm trying to do better, and I want to grow. Ecclesiastes 7:20 that I quote fairly often, there's not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and never sins. But I messed up. Welcome to the club. Everybody does. James 3:2, for we all stumble in many ways. We're just here to grow and honor God. Matthew 25:25, in the parable of the talents, and here's the one that did nothing. And think about this. Just because you're not flawless and others seem so good in whatever area, here's the guy that hid his talent. Should you quit? And the answer is, no, you just keep on keeping on and doing the very best that you can do. So just my appeal to everyone here and everybody at home, join us tonight at 5 o'clock on Zoom for Acts. We just did the introduction, the first couple of verses. So you're just at the very start. And down at the bottom, you have the ID there, 897-7880-7472. I sent out the hyperlink last week. In fact, you don't even need all that. You just click on that and you'll get in there. And there's the password, 1492. And so we think about ourselves as growing in Christ. Well, we love the Lord. That's why you're here. With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Matthew 22, 37. We're supposed to grow not only in Christ, but together. All the ligaments forming the strength that holds the body together. Be willing to serve. You take your gift, whatever it is. Mine's different from Bill's. Yours different from mine. Mike said something last night. He said, Paul, I just appreciated you because you have that capacity just to talk to almost anyone. Well, I was talking to Mike just this past week that he's one of the guys, the most outstanding, devoted, trustworthy guys you'll ever come across, as are a number of you. But I was talking to him. So everybody form some part of the body that just is amazing. And because of that, we're all better. So you get to think about, do you need to grow into in Christ? Do you need to be baptized into Christ? Is there some area of your life that I can improve and I want to do that? We want to encourage you as we think about ourselves sharing the word of the Lord like Philip did to Nathanael, said, come, we found him of whom the scriptures teach. You know, Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And so you get an opportunity to talk about people and think about ourselves. Are we ready to grow in Christ? Song number 197, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Let us know if we can help in any way. Let's be standing as we are led in.